All right, for the final time this summer, welcome to Three Slips No Cover. Down to two slips, sod this week.
But so it should be.
Yeah, it's all about quality over quantity. I've always said that on this podcast, and
it's also, Hammy, about performance.
Yep,
it's about performance. We've been solid right throughout the summer.
Absolutely.
And look, without sounding a touch self-indulgent, but we've had a wonderful summer, the two of us.
We have.
We've had a great summer.
Great to watch.
Great
listen
summer.
To. As
yeah, my word.
Movie.
My word. You know, we've taken this podcast basically, you know, the top of the tree.
Yeah.
And we haven't been around a long time.
No, we haven't.
We brought a voice on, and it is the elephant in the room. It needs to be mentioned.
He's not in the room anymore.
No, and hence we mentioned him as an elephant, Murph Hughes.
Yeah.
But we got to 30 after he joined our podcast.
We did.
30.
Yeah.
We've never been that low.
No, I don't think we have.
I mean, the diamond's out of the rough, isn't it?
Well,
it's all over for Merv.
Look, you know, I don't want to whack Merv too much. Is it the fact that it was a Canberra Test match special? Did people maybe tune off because of that or you know?
Maybe the blue and gold, you know, the LA Rams and the...
Oh, no, they didn't do so well.
Yeah, the sort of Canberra Comets.
Yeah.
You know, putting that colour together, maybe people didn't associate with it.
Okay.
I'm not too sure, but, you know, the great paceman from Canberra, the legend of the Canberra Comets, the man on their honour board, the man who ate most of their lunches whenever he played up there, he just didn't bring it.
He didn't bring
what we needed, and hence he's not here today, nor should he be.
No, down to two slips. Well, there you go. Whack goes sod for the first time this podcast, the first of many. It is a review show of the summer and a bit of a glance ahead to next summer and a few of the other tournaments going on as well. No Dino as well. We'll get to Dino soon, but... A couple of weeks for Dino since he hasn't been on the podcast. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, Dean.
At the Australian Cricket Awards. Now,
do you think because of the Hall of Fame, that's why as manager of the Pakistan Super Kings? Or
Islamabad United, I believe he's
that's
got.
It. Yeah, the United Islamabadders.
Yeah.
That's about as united as Islamabad will ever get. They're wandering around the boundary with the suit on.
Yeah.
Where are we at with that with Dino?
Yeah, look, they say dress for the job you want, you know. Where does he want to end up? Australian cricket coach? I don't mind that, a bit of soccer manager sort of style coming into it and pointing,
that's what
and
it
waving.
Is. You know, I'm thinking, there's the big man.
Yeah.
Got a bit of Italian thread on.
Yeah.
You know, wandering around in the 42 degrees, the 87% humidity, pretending he's not hot.
Yeah.
Extraordinary, because he's a kilo or two over at the moment. You know, he's where he weighed in 20 years ago to where he's weighing in now, he'd get life from the stewards. He's well overweight. But the walking around in the full suit, I'm not sure whether that's the look I want.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Well, he's gone out. He's stuck out there. And he is a Hall of Famer now as well. So, you know, I wonder whether this comes into it. Interesting to note that, you know, wasn't a Hall of Famer until after the Three Slips No Cover podcast.
Mm.
So do we take a little bit of credit for that, raising the media profile a little bit? And
you would think it put the cream on
the
top, wouldn't
so.
You? It was the last piece of the puzzle, as they say in the classics.
Last box they wanted ticked. And,
yeah.
Good on him. And I think, you know, it's a feather in the cap to this podcast. I have a look around at other podcasts on the charts. I can't find another podcast that's got a Hall of Famer as a host.
No.
Yes, we haven't had him for a couple, but he's been on 6/8 of our podcast. Howie's interviewed Hall of Famers. He's interviewed, you know, your Gillies, your Warnies, even Dino himself. But for someone for a hosting panel with 6/8 of their podcast with a Hall of Famer, I think that sets us apart.
My word. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. Well, I tell you what we might do is we might jump straight into a bit of Pat Up, because I like, you know, the great thing about Pat Up sort of is it gets us into the hard-hitting issues of cricket.
Well, you realise today you're going to have to pat up, don't
you? That's fine. That's fine. I'm happy to carry my weight. Absolutely. No dramas at all. I'm going to get you to pat up first, Sod, as Marcus Stoinis. I think you've been Marcus Stoinis a few times for us this summer, but I'll get you to pat up for him for the final time this summer. I want you to talk us through your kit, please, Marcus, that you wore to the Australian Cricket Awards the other evening.
Look, I suppose over the journey, I've had enough of seeing the girls doing the twirl as they walk in on the red carpet. You know, it's time the boys fought back and got what I think is, you know, a fair slice of the pie.
Yep.
And you know, they put a lot of effort into, you know, the hair, the suit, the tie, you know, how it's hanging, whether it's crooked, left or right.
Yep.
Whether it's a bit loose, you know, hanging sort of chest or mid throat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of effort goes into that.
Yep.
So I just wanted to add a little bit of attention-seeking garb.
Yep.
Just so people said, hey,
yeah,
hey, we're here. I'm here. I'm a man. I'm here.
Yep.
I demand attention.
Now, it had to be Dr. Harry inspired the get up, wasn't it? A homage to the great vet.
I'm allergic to dogs.
Are you?
Yeah, allergic to dogs.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, to say, I'm actually taking offense that you thought it was get up of Dr. Harry. Okay. Seriously.
Sorry, Marcus.
Well, he's 75. He's bald. Yeah. He's skinny.
Yeah.
I'm the Hulk.
Yeah.
I had to get new shirts made for the final.
Yeah.
The Big Bash final because I put on a few more
kgs
with the. I'm punching out 160 now.
Wow.
Yeah, 160 kg press.
Look, he is 75, but he does wear the flat caps and the glasses with the string on them, which you were sporting as well.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, congratulations on your One Day Player of the Year award.
Thank you.
Richo pressed you on the stage. He actually copied you and wore he had the glasses and the hat on when he presented you the award. And he asked you, how are you going to feel when you look back on this moment, you know, with your grandchildren and go, that's me when I was the One Day Player of the Year wearing that get-up. are you happy with your choice or have you got any regrets as you move past the awards night?
Not regrets as yet.
Yep.
No regrets as yet. I think it's fair to say on reflection,
mm-hmm.
you know, hindsight, wonderful thing, yep. hindsight, 20/20 vision, all that sort of stuff. Yep. It's a bit like Rodney Hogg when he was facing Michael Holding and he was – turning away in fear, and it ricocheted from his pads well outside leg stump onto his stumps. He was bowled by Michael Holding in Perth.
Yep.
And he went back into the change rooms. He rang his wife. He said, please erase that from the tape. I don't want my son to know I'm a coward. I believe Stoiny.
Yeah.
Me, Stoiny.
Yeah.
I need
referring
to
himself in the third person now, the big Stoiny.
Stoiny, me Stoiny, needs to erase. Well, that needs to be erased.
Okay.
It's got to go.
Yep.
And there are moves afoot
yep.
for that to go.
Okay. Wow. Well, in a digital age, it's going to be tough. But Stoin, nonetheless, you've had a great summer. Thanks for coming on a couple of times on the Three Sleeps No Cover podcast.
It's been good being part of it.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully we'll catch up with you during the World Cup.
Gym for me.
All right. All the best, mate. There you go, Marcus Stoin. Some interesting thoughts from him there, Sod, on – very talkable get up he had the other night.
I'm interested for you, Hammy, to pat up as his legendary inspirational skipper of the green team, the Stars, the Melbourne Stars, and Glenn Maxwell.
Yep.
Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be here. Big fan of the podcast, actually. I've loved it.
Yeah, well, you're in a fair queue. The bat toss in Melbourne, if you had your time over again – bowling the right alternative for the Stars?
Well, I think we actually bowled pretty well. I think, you know, we restricted them. We ended up having a total we should have been able to chase. And gee whiz, didn't we make one hell of a balls up of it when we went out to bat and got put in a great position by our two openers. I'd said this at the time. I said this after the game. Would have liked to have seen them take the game on a little bit more. You know, there was... But that said, what did we need? 56 off 48 balls with 10 wickets in hand. We should have won that game, Sod.
Can we work through your blaming of the openers that did take you to none for 93 with 10 wickets in hand?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the logic of why it was their fault that you lost.
Well, you got to blame someone, essentially, Sod.
They did put on 93.
Yeah, they did. They did put on 93.
Okay. And they didn't lose their wicket.
Yeah. But then
you then lost 7 for 19, if my memory serves me correctly.
Correct, you're spot on.
So they were none for 93.
Yep.
And then the rest of you lost 7 for 19, but it was Dunkey and Stoiny's fault.
Yeah. Well, you know, an avalanche starts with a snowflake, doesn't it, Sod? And one or two silly shots from those set blokes at the top of the order really put the pressure on, you know, a couple of us down the order.
Mm.
And we weren't able to cope, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's sort of like NASA with a perfect launch pad, but the rocket not taking off.
Yeah.
Would you
– You're blaming the rocket.
Some ways describe it as that.
Yeah, well, maybe the launch pad had to been a bit higher. Would have been a bit closer to
none for
closer
94
to orbit.
Or none for 100, maybe
anywhere up upward of 93. To be honest with you,
as Sod. Senior players yourself and Pete Hanscom, you were happy the way you went about your work?
Not overly, particularly the fact that I was dropped probably one ball before. I think I thought about saying to Cameron White that you've just dropped the big bash.
Yeah.
But I thought better of it. If we had have gone on to win, I would have changed my story there. But look, we should have done better side. I'm not looking to hide anywhere. I'm someone who's looking to get back in the teams, and when there's clutch games on the line like that, those are ones selectors look at, and at times we'll use as an excuse to not throw me back in the team.
In a Shield game in years to come, when you go for that sort of, it's a bit tight, mate. Can you handle the pressure?
Yeah.
Do you think that's a logical sledge that could come out of your mouth after what transpired at the MCG?
Yeah, look, I think it's one that I would have to be very careful about who it was. Maybe if I was playing for another state and sledged Pete Hanscom, who was also part of that collapse, it might work. But, yeah, I'm going to have to be careful, Sod. Got to put my hand up and unfortunately didn't make the most of a good opportunity to, see my team home as the captain. Mm.
Well, better luck next year.
Thank you. Glenn. Thank you, Sod.
It's going to be a long year.
There we go. Glenn Maxwell, very giving with his time, open with his
good
answers.
Good to have him on the show. Good to have him on.
Great
the show.
To have him on.
Good fella.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Sod, I want to get you to pad up. This is going to be a tough one to personify, but I think you're the man to do it. I want you to pad up as the average cricket-watching Australian, and my question to you is, how do you feel about the summer of cricket at large? How are you feeling with the state of the game?
I'm a bit confused, like the players. Like we were mules and the sheep there the other day, and like I come in and like the test is over, and then I'd only had a jar, like one stub, VB, and that, and I went over to Perth, and there was an orange team and a blue team playing. Like I find that as an average cricket watcher around the country, I find that confusing.
Yep.
It's tough, after a day's work, that's hard.
You want to get back to basics? You want to get back to a state-based system? Is that what you're saying? Or
Just a system I understand. Okay. Like one moment there I'm watching a bloke shear a sheep.
Yeah.
And the next moment I'm watching a bloke, quickly mules one that's fly-blown.
Yeah.
So, at one moment I'm watching test.
Yes. More patient
and the,
practice.
The true shearing of a sheep.
Yep.
And then next minute, wham, bam, thank you, man, gone, done. Yeah. All over,
What do you prefer? Do you prefer a slowly shorn sheep, or do you prefer a bit of get them in, get them out? Where do you sit?
I'm with the slow shorn. I'm a traditional.
Yep.
Like I've been a bushy a long time. I mean, five generations here.
Yep.
At the farm here and watching the sport on the telly.
Yep.
I remember the ABC.
Yep.
And all those fellas, uninterrupted.
Yep.
Was.
Yep.
Uninterrupted coverage. It was an interruption by the blokes talking, but there wasn't ads and stuff, and I loved it then. So that's why I like the sheep being shorn
slowly.
Slowly and getting a really good fleece.
Yep.
Because that keeps us going.
Well, do you think?
Well, I'm an average cricket watcher, the average person.
Do you think the slow, the practice of shearing slow sheep, as it were, is given enough airtime, put in the right pedestal, and is it given the right priority in the pecking order of how sheep are being shorn at the moment? And do those at the top need to do a better job of making sure that it is once again the premium form of sheep shearing?
Yeah. I think there's a lot to go into. There's a lot to be said for what you just said then.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot to be said for it.
Yep. Do we need to see a shorter season of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am shearing?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, like you don't want to mule sheep five times a year. Like, you only want to do it once, right?
Correct. Yep.
So, get in, get it done, get gone.
Yep.
But then get into the proper process of getting the right product, the right product that people cross the board can sit back and enjoy.
Yep.
And that's the slow shorn sheep.
I'm totally with you there, average cricket watcher. I just think one thing, not that I want to champion the wham, bam, thank you, man format of sheep shearing, but I think they need to get a few more international shearers in just to get it, at a better quality again.
Yeah, I tell you what, you're going to be careful because next season, the Kiwi shearers are coming over.
Jeez.
They go all right at it. They're going
careful
good.
With your sheep around them.
Yeah, they're tough ones.
Yeah.
Like they'll still tuck their trousers into their gumboots, those blokes.
Yep.
Yeah. gives them room to move in those gummies. So you're going to have to be careful. Okay. You're going to have to be careful. They'll give us a bit of a lesson next year in the shearing stuff. I don't know about the mulesing, but the shearing, I reckon they're really going to push the Australian blokes. Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. Well, average Australian cricket watcher, thank you for your time.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah. I'll let you get back to the farm. There we go.
Get up, Rusty. Get up.
Well, I think that that clears things up.
He's a good fellow, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Was he Booligal, I think he was from. Up past near Hay there.
Good part of the world.
Yeah, New South Wales. Booligal he's from. Good fellow.
Very good. Nice. Well, there you go. There's Pat up for us. I think that should have cleared a few things up and made it a bit more easy for everyone to understand. But I'm with you. We've got to shorten the Big Bash season. We'll get onto that in a moment. I want to talk about
like this will be shorter than the podcast.
I want to talk about the Australian Cricket Awards. The evening at large has changed formats a bit. We've got a black carpet now. What did you make of it? Is it in a right spot when you compare it to things like Brownlow's, Dally M's, etc.?
It's probably never captured the imagination, really, has it?
No. Not overly.
Just between you and I in this room, it's never really gone to the heights of the Brownlow, has it?
Yeah. Now,
well, those some great players have won the International Cricketer of the Year. You know,
they have.
Great players.
Absolutely.
Wonderful players. Now, players that should be remembered for some fantastic feats.
We've already got one person on the podcast in the Hall of Fame. Maybe it's time for a second.
Oh, no. I don't think so. Well, Mervyn could get on, although we wouldn't have Merv back on the podcast, would we?
We've got another Canberra test. We'll get him back on. I don't mind Merv. He's offered me a beer from time to time, so I've got too much bad to say about him.
Take a good New Zealand shearer to shear Merv, I reckon.
Yeah, geez. He was still looking airy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Tash was all over the shop. Yeah. I just think looking through the evening, let's break it down a little bit. We've spoken about Stoinis as Dr. Harry. Peter Siddle was on the black carpet. Now, Peter, for me, looked a little bit like a man who needed a drink to relax himself. Unfortunately, he doesn't drink anymore, so he's basically snookered himself there. But he did look a little bit on edge through there, a little bit like he was labouring a bit on the black carpet. I don't know what you thought of the form out there.
Well, mate, you can't perform with half a tank of petrol.
Yeah, good advice. This,
right? You cannot perform with half a tank of petrol.
Yeah,
I don't think I need to say any more.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah,
you don't have to. That's all good.
Yeah. Let's fill the tank. And performances, at least the longevity of those performances, will become greater. But gee whiz, man, it's very hard to go out when people are on a full tank of petrol and you're only on half a tank.
Yeah. No, it's a good point you make. Very good point you make. Dean Jones, good to see him in recognising the Hall of Fame.
He wasn't there, the big man.
Wasn't there.
He was in Pakistan.
I thought he might have got you to do his
I was a bit disappointed acceptance speech. Yeah, I thought he might have.
Or turn, to anyone in the podcast, but he went with Kim.
Yeah.
Who did speak very well, and
who'd he go with?
Kim Hughes.
Kim Hughes?
Yeah. Accepted the award on his behalf. And Dino had sent him a text message and Hughesy read it out. At the evening. And
so I missed that part.
Yeah, he did. It was quite good, actually. He kind of turned on Alan Border, gave him a shout out at the evening.
Right. Because that wasn't put on the telly, was it?
No, it was. It was about 2 hours into the broadcast. I don't blame you if you'd fallen asleep.
I was off to bed at that stage.
By that part. Yeah, he goes, look, I hope you're having a good night at your United Knights there. Alan, just a quick reminder, we averaged 70 every time I went out to bat and you still dropped me. So I gave him a little clip there as he was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
He should have.
Yeah, but I think, good on him. Good hit. And I look forward to many more people on the podcast getting inducted into the Australian Cricket Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, you better start changing the personnel.
No, we're into a good rhythm. Let's maybe – I've got a couple of awards I'd like to give out for the summer at large. I've got a few nominees for each of them too.
Yes, okay.
So and then we're obviously building to the big one.
This is the phone in one that we had during the week. So everyone's phoned in. So this is by popular.
Yeah, all the votes
we're putting
been,
the icing on the cake. Correct.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. I'll show you the short list and I'll tell you who's one of them. But we're building up to the Simon O'Donnell Medal for the award in cricket media, which is the big one. You want to give us a bit of context about what this award means to you?
Well, the context. Yeah. Well, it's not so much what it means to me. My career speaks for itself.
It does.
It was extraordinary.
Yeah.
Both on and off the field.
Yeah.
And, when you have a person of that ilk having an award named after them. Obviously, yep. It's an honour if anyone can put one of those awards on their shelf. And this being the inaugural.
It is a big one.
It's massive. It's massive. So, there's high expectation out there. The few games I got to this year.
Yeah. Can't get to them all. You'd love to get to them all.
No, I couldn't. Yeah, security's not always available to get me in and out of those gates and follow me around the ground. But the few games I did get to, the feedback I got from the commentators at Seven and from Fox, they're really working within the structures of the award to be the inaugural winner. Yeah. So to say there's high expectation out there is an understatement.
Yeah, it's one we're certainly looking forward to handing out a little bit later, but we'll build into it with a couple of other ones right the way through. The first award I've got, Sod, is the Ryan Campbell Award for Best Innovation this cricket season. Obviously, Ryan bringing the baseball mask and inventing the ramp shot, so pretty synonymous with innovation through the game.
Mm, quite right.
The shortlist is...
It's a good name to come up with, you know.
You happy with that, the Ryan Campbell
Award? Ryan Campbell probably hasn't been around for, I'm going to say, 7 years?
Yeah, possibly more, I reckon. 10 or maybe even 12. He did come out of retirement. He played for Hong Kong a couple of years ago at a T20 World Cup. He did. But hasn't been around the traps and hasn't got the recognition he deserves. Mm. Now, the nominees for Best Innovation, the Ryan Campbell Award, are Ben Dunk's playground hat that he's been wearing in the Big Bash, which include the little fastener underneath the chin.
Yep.
That's on the shortlist. Yep. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, that's once a Jolly Swagman stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Very
just need
smart.
The corks, don't we?
The corks are the next step. Stump Mike's Up. Stump Mike's Up is getting a nomination for
so you like the
best
banter
innovation
during the year, obviously.
It's not so much about, enjoying it. It's just something that's innovated and it's caught the eye out there.
Okay.
And the last one is the bat flip, which is the final one.
Do we have a... an answer to roughs and smooths on the bat flip throughout the competition?
I don't have the data on that. That'd be fascinating to see. But I think as we spoke about on an earlier podcast, that it was actually the sides of the bat were actually both flat. So it effectively was a coin in a bat presented in bat form. There was no roof or flat as per a normal cricket bat. So they'd coined these special ones and they're just passing us off as rooftops or flats.
Okay.
So for that kind of takes away.
So you're saying they dudded us, aren't you?
They did dud us, yeah.
It wasn't a true reflection of the old backyard toss.
And for that reason, as well as a couple of OH&S issues where a few cameramen nearly wore bats to the lens, that one hasn't picked it up. Ben Dunk, for me, a little bit, I don't know if it's fashion forward. I don't know if cricket really needed that. It made himself look a little bit silly, I'm going to say. So Stump Mike's Up, hate them or love them. They form probably the backbone of Cricket Australia's social media content plan right through the summer. Mm-hmm. We had lots of clips of Payne and Pant and Dick Weller, even Uzi Khawaja there at the crease getting stuck in. So that one has won the Ryan Campbell Award for innovation to cricket this year. So your thoughts?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm very, very happy with that. Probably the thing I'm most happy with is the briefing at the start of the summer to say, hey, guys, the Stump Mites are going to be up. Keep it clean. To be able to live through the summer without any major catastrophes from a language perspective or overdoing the politically correct is extraordinary from my point of view. Yep. That's an extraordinary effort from the players.
Yeah. It feels to me sometimes, I think that some of the Stump Mike stuff a little bit like maths, Married at First Sight. I don't watch a hell of a lot of it, but I wonder whether they had a little word in the ear from the producers upstairs going, the mic's on, now it's up. Give us your best pre-prepared content that you've thought about. I just thought with Tim Payne sometimes it was a little bit too polished to be off the cuff for me. I don't want to ruin the illusion for people, but I feel a little bit cheated.
That could be transferred just with a little light.
Yep.
Maybe on the site screen, a little light flashes, and they know that the
on
stump
air,
mics
the
are suddenly
sign
on
down there on the
on air. Tim Payne's moving the mid off, and it's time. Here comes three or four and best bits of work.
You're live now. Well, there you go. Anyway, it's an interesting one. I think as we found with maths, maybe the illusion will be ruined next season when they do it again.
You're a fan of Married at First Sight.
I'm not, but the boys out there love it, and everyone in here talks about it. I just G'day. I'm poking
interesting
holes through the production. Are you a fan? Do you watch?
I must admit, I haven't watched a moment of it.
Yeah.
But I, you know, it's hard to pick up the paper without reading something about it. And
the big issues go in the paper, so
yeah, yeah. And it must be an extraordinary show.
It must be. I'm happy to leave it out there, to be honest. Next award, the Phillard Fish Award for Surprise Selection of the Year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nominees are
Manus Loose Bus Change Lorber Shane. He's our first nomination. Yeah, yes, he debuted
he
before.
He played in Dubai.
He did play in Dubai, but he came back in when no one really expected. This thing came out 2 days before. Mitch Marsh out, Lorber Shane's on the plane, and everyone went, how's that happen? And he came back in and he stayed in. So for me, it was just a surprise selection. It was like a fillet of fish.
Okay.
Are we going to regret it later? Maybe. Curtis Patterson. Wasn't named in an initial squad. Leapfrog Pekowski got in. 200s
against
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka.
Came in, made 100. Got to say, an all right selection in the end, but took a lot of people by surprise. Where did it come from? Like the fillet of fish. That's our next nomination.
Okay. Yep.
And the third nomination for me, Phil Tufnell in the Channel 7 commentary box. He's growing up, as a young fella, I enjoyed Tuffers' work. I didn't love it as much this time around, a little bit older, watching him again. And I just don't really understand where he sort of fits in to a summer of cricket between India and Australia and Sri Lanka, where the idea came from to get him out in the first place. I'm not, giving him a poo-poo or either way, but I just think in terms of surprise selections, it baffled me. I still can't understand.
I liked his radio work.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. I liked some of his radio work. Didn't see a lot of him on the telly. And he was a late arrival too, wasn't he?
Late inclusion, that's the thing.
Yeah, he was a few tests in.
Yeah.
We'd done the early tests and then suddenly he arrived.
Makes it even more surprising.
Yeah.
For mine. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what, I think we should, it should be something we explore in our off season.
Yeah.
Is podcast Tuffers.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're a good podcast man.
Could be Tuffers. A surprise selection here as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I don't
get the Phillard Fish Award here.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a toss up really between Marnus and and Phil, isn't it?
Yeah. I can see you. I know because you just want to say loose bus change again.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I'm going to go with Phil Tufnell for the Phillard Fish Award.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, and I'm happy to explore him. We've got an Ashes series coming up as well.
Yeah.
Do we cast him another meal deal and throw him in the podcast over there in the UK?
Yep.
Phillard Fish Award.
Yeah, and whack a large chips with it, and we just might get him here on our
podcast. The large chips?
He is. Well, just to entice him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an enticement.
Okay. No drama. All right.
Good. He'll only be one large chips. Like Merv will want three or four Merv large
three
chips.
Or four. That's the thing. And we've only got so many large chips.
Correct. We've only got a budget to budget.
Well, that brings me to my next award. This is the Merv Hughes Award for Guest of the Year on the podcast. Now, Merv finds himself in the fortunate position that he was our only guest. And as such, congratulations.
Not required.
To Merv. He's won the Merv Hughes Award for Guest of the Year on the Three Sweeps.
Good work, Swervin. Yeah. Good on you, Mervin. Yeah.
Worthy winner?
Yeah, worthy winner.
Would you say?
Worthy winner. A hot contest.
It was.
Hot contest.
Yeah.
Mm.
The inaugural winner of the award named after him as well.
Yep. No, the hot contest. Well done, Mervin.
Yep. Very good.
Well done, Mervin. Too good.
I have got here, and next award, this is the last one before we get into the Sold Medal, which we're all waiting for. I don't know if you've watched the Netflix documentary about Fire Festival. You seen this one, Sod?
No.
About the music festival that oversold. All the artists pulled out at the last minute. It was held. It was supposed to be held on an island. It was held on a retirement resort. Everyone flew there. It cost several thousand dollars a ticket. Everyone went. It was promoted by all these Instagram models. And basically it poured with rain. It turned into a riot situation. The bloke who organised that is now in jail for a substantial period of time. So
Where did all this happen?
This happened 2016.
In the United States?
In the US. It's a riveting watch on Netflix.
Wow.
I'd really encourage you to check it out over the off-season. But that one brings us to our final award, the Fire Festival Award for the worst run event of the cricketing summer.
Oh, now this is interesting. And the nominees are?
There's one nominee for this one.
One?
Yeah. I couldn't look past it, Sod. it used to be an event held in such high esteem, such prestige. Everyone looked forward to it. This time it was just a debacle. It went for too long. Teams were decimated of players for other tournaments.
Oh, dearie, dearie. Top this
international
slap.
Players pulled out at the last minute or were taken out halfway through the tournament. And there were random breaks in play, which, you know, basically saw it run for way too long and was a shadow of its former self. For that reason, Big Bash BBL 08 is this year's Fire Festival Award winner for the worst run event sod.
Struth.
Yeah.
That's hard-hitting stuff.
It is hard-hitting stuff.
That's hard-hitting stuff. How does Big Bash get back on your radar?
Back on my radar. So I've got a few fixes for you. Take it back. Now, this is going to be tough. We spoke about this before. Take it back to less is more. I think 14 games per team before finals, way too much. Way too much. Bring it back to play each other once, I'd say. Maybe once and then two conferences. So you play one and a half times. And then get into the finals. It's all done and dusted by the time it's Australia Day, maybe Australia Day weekend, you knock it off. Play the final in a prime time slot. Don't play it in the afternoon or for the women's comp at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Treat it with some respect. Get some eyeballs on it. Allow franchises to go from 2 to 4 international players. Get some star power in there. And I think that's the way to go. And also clear the schedule so you're not pulling out Australian international players ad hoc right the way through the tournament. It's just treated with no respect anymore. And for me, it's turned into a bit of a mess.
Gee whiz. That's hard-hitting stuff.
It is.
That's hard-hitting stuff.
Your thoughts, Sol?
That's why we've been, you know, we're climbing the podcast ladder.
Big time.
Is because there's no prisons here. No fear nor favour.
Not at all.
Just bang, crunch. Yep. Cop that BBL.
Big time.
I don't think I watched a BBL game in full once.
Well, that's the problem.
Not once.
Yeah.
And to give you a more relevant example.
Yeah.
I can't remember my kids watching a full one once.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. And 2 years ago, they were riveted by it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't leave the television.
Yep.
Now I'm thinking, oh, yeah, they're in and out and pop in to see what the score is.
Yep.
So, yes, there's something that needs a tweak.
Yep.
Timing seems to be the logical one, but we need some star power. We need some.
Yep.
We need some big hitting. We need some big hitting power and, you know, how we get that back with the money we pay, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm unsure.
Yep.
Because, you know, there are a lot of teams where people go, who? And that makes it difficult.
Yeah, you don't want that. I'm not saying it's a complete catastrophe. There are some games that are excellent. The final was one of the great comebacks in, you know, Aussie sport, I reckon, when you look at where they were and how they pulled it off. There's been some really exciting finishes, but you want more of those. You want less filler.
Mm.
Less filler, more killer next year for me, Sog.
Choke of the year, wasn't it?
It was. Stars. Big choke time. Of the year. Absolutely. Jared Whateley says it's the greatest choke on Australian soil in sport.
Wow.
Got to be in the conversation.
Wow.
Big time.
And the only two that survive out of that are Billy Duncan's Green Man Steiner.
Yeah. Big time.
That's it.
A few blokes out there were comparing it to the Shark, Chuck Norman, as well.
Oh, the US Masters.
Yeah. Gee, that was not on Australian soil, but, you know, geez.
Wow.
In the same
six
breath.
Shots up.
Yeah.
Who got him? Nicky Faldo chased him down, didn't he?
I can't remember who got him, but I just remember it was just.
Yeah, I reckon Nick Faldo just wore him down over the day.
Yeah. Anyway.
Poor old Shark.
He's hoping for more killer next year.
Drum roll.
Now, this is the big one. So, now, can I just give us a bit of a leaderboard of where the votes are at? Punter, Junior and Gilly are on 2 votes a pop. They can't win it this year.
We couldn't have Punter. Now, Punter, you know, I thought was very, very good.
Yeah.
But because of his allegiances,
yeah.
I want nothing to do with him.
I love
nothing
I love,
to do with him.
I love that you're a company man.
Bad
first.
Allegiances. So Punter, you will stay down the bottom. While your allegiances are wrong and not there, stay where you are.
Love it.
You know, don't pretend you can drive a trotter, ride a horse. Stay where you
are. Well, that wasn't actually him.
Oh, it's
wonderful post-production work there from the team. Isha Gua, Warney and Alison Mitchell are all on 4 votes. Also out of reach to knock off the leader. The bowlologist is on 5 votes and the only man who could challenge the great man,
Mark Howard
who is at the front on 8 votes. Now, have you got a list of votes for the last round?
Yes, I have.
What have you decided to go with?
Well, I've got a list of votes for the ending of the Big Bash.
Love it.
Yeah, and they go this way.
Yep.
They go this way. Ishiguro?
Yep.
Three.
Wow. So Gill moves up to seven overall. Silver three. Medalist.
Yeah.
Yep.
Deservedly so, but I wouldn't declare the silver medalist just yet.
Okay.
Flem two.
Which takes him, we've got an equal, we've got a split for the silver medal there.
Yeah, correct.
Biologist. He's been good. He's been good this year.
Yeah, he has been very good this year, Flem.
Yeah, he's had a tough task too, being the funny guy, but I think he's done it really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one vote, Adam Gilchrist.
Gilly.
Yeah, only gets him to three, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gets him up to three.
Yeah. So, you know, just for being Mr. Nice Guy all the time, never does anything wrong, he doesn't deserve to win it, Gilly.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Whack.
Yeah, it's just too nice.
Yep, too nice. Too nice to win
it. We'll see him do something wrong every now and then. Yeah. Say something controversial.
Okay, so too nice to win it, which means our winner on eight votes, and deservedly so, is Mark Howard.
Yes.
He's been great.
Yep.
But you just said Gilly was too nice to win it. I'll give him a round of applause. Well done, Howie.
Stuff Howie.
Big fan of your work.
Stuff Howie, yeah. Love his work. Love his work.
He's been great to watch this year because he was late to the party, I think, as well. They were getting
He's got to put on a few Ks.
Yeah?
Oh, that skinny look. I'm sick of that skinny look. we need a bit of oomph in our TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that skinny look, blokes going around in skinny pants and pointy shoes. I've had about a gutful of it.
Jeez, I'm getting a bit hot over here.
Yeah, you're a bit on the skinny side, but you've gone a short and a
yep.
You know, and what I'd call a fashion shoe at the moment.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you've gone a bit of a fashion.
The good people at Aquila have sorted that one out there.
Blokes in the in the jeans that hang off their what's left of their ass.
Yep.
And the pointy shoe.
Yep.
You know, and the shirt hanging out sort of unbuttoned mid-rift, you know, sort of that mid-chest region.
Yeah.
And generally a lot of them go a clean shave across there.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got to have work.
You want a bit of Simon Kadich back. You know, maybe he was very hairy on the
We want a bit of manhood back.
Yep.
A bit of manhood into the commentary. That's what I'm saying, Harry.
Okay.
It's the one thing I've missed.
Yep.
The thing that has become commonplace to me that we need to see something different. I know the girls have been introduced, the ladies, and they've done a wonderful job.
Yep. But silver medalists on the side.
We're all looking the same. We're all, you know, not carrying any flab, generally no facial hair, got the strides hanging off our hips, got a pointy shoe, very modern. You know, I'm starting to get sick of that look. We need something a bit different.
You're going to mix it up. All right. Well, there's something for you to improve. However, I'd love you to pay homage to the great man who's just taken out the award. You know, if you've got maybe two or three things that have really impressed you about this bloke through the year, which is why he's won the Simon O'Donnell.
I think when he got me when he came out in the Gatorade van in Perth.
Yeah.
And he drove around the ground in the Gatorade van.
Yep.
And he was able to do about 3 minutes of television from the Gatorade van. That's not an easy thing to do. But he actually made it part interesting.
Yeah.
Riding around the Gatorade van while everyone was getting organised upstairs.
Yep.
So once I saw that, I thought, there's a talent here. There's a talent here. So he had a driver who had no interest in what he was doing.
Yep.
He was sort of pointing him where to go. And the cameraman, I think, would have been on one of those two-wheel, what do you call those?
Segways.
Segways. He was on the Segway following him. And how he had to keep the camera angle right, the driver going in the right direction, have content coming out of his mouth that was interesting while they got organised upstairs. And it was about 3 minutes he spent on the Gatorade wagon.
Yep.
I thought it was a brilliant piece of television.
Great.
So he was never going to lose from that moment onwards. So basically the Perth test, the inaugural Simon O'Donnell Media Award, was done. It was dusted.
Yep.
Done and dusted. He was never going to lose.
I love that you're able to boil it down to one specific, you know, it's like a career-changing innings almost.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, you know what? Congratulations, Howie, if you're listening. I'm sure you're listening to the podcast. Well done on being the inaugural winner of the Simon O'Donnell Medal. That is prestigious.
And we'll send that out in the mail or we courier that?
I'll leave that with the production team. We'll get it to you somehow, mate. We might get it, see if we can get a Gatorade vehicle to drop it off to wherever you might be down at Bowen Heads. There we go. There's the awards done and dusted. I just thought, you know, just in wrapping up, we might just cast our eye ahead at some of the big tournaments coming up this year and just the top line of how you think they're going to go, who the teams to beat are, how Australia's going to fare in them as well. We'll just start with the World Cup, Sod. Who do you like is maybe a little bit of a roughie for people to look at? Who's probably your favourite and where do Australia sit?
I think Sri Lanka are half a chance in the World Cup, as silly as that sounds.
Uh-huh.
The win they just had against South Africa, in South Africa, the confidence that will give a number of those young fellas, and some of them have got, you know, a good bit of talent, I actually think Sri Lanka can play off in a semi in the World Cup. And once they're into a semi, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So I'm tipping a top four finish for Sri Lanka in the World Cup.
So Sri Lanka's win against South Africa was like Howie's Gatorade vehicle performance.
I think it was a moment. It's a moment for that young transitional side to say, hey, we can do this. As long as Pereira makes 150. But, hey, we can do this. So I'm looking for big improvement from Sri Lanka.
All right, great.
Really am. Where do the Aussies sit in all of that? I mean, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to the World Cup with any confidence. Yep. I'm not going to the World Cup thinking, you know, we've got England's measure, thinking we've got South Africa's measure, thinking we've got New Zealand's measure.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, you know, if we end up in the mix, would be fantastic, but I'd probably be surprised if we did.
Are we on par with where we were going into the 99 World Cup, or are we behind that? Because we started very slow there. We were a bit of a rabble experimenting with the team early on and went on to win it.
Yeah, the ability in that 1999 side,
yeah, very,
albeit good point. You know, it was taking a while to settle, it's chalk and cheese to where we are now.
Yep.
You know, when you're talking Shane Warne and Glenn McGrath,
yep,
Jason Gillespie, you know, Darren Lehman, those sort of guys, I think we've got some work to do. You know, if Maxwell fires, if Stoinis fires, you know, we've got half a show. But I don't know if they're World Cup changing players.
Yep.
And that's what we need, World Cup changing players. Whether we've got those, so I wish us well. I hope we go well. But a top four finish would probably surprise me.
Gotcha. And your favourite, who do you think is the team to beat?
I love what England's done.
Yeah?
Oh, love what England's done.
Even despite losing to the West Indies.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that was you know, I think their one-day team's really good balance.
Yep.
That they you know, their performances over the last 2 years have been superb.
Yep.
So I think the Poms have got a really good show. I also think New Zealand's got a really good show.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. New Zealand have been settled for a long time now. I think they've worked well towards this World Cup. You know, they've been able to keep the same personnel pretty much, you know, 13 or 14 of them in their one-day picture over the last 24 months.
Yep.
I think New Zealand are going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah, they've got a very well-balanced, you know, batting lineup and bowling lineup. I think they're going to be tough to beat too. Ashes, what's going on in the Ashes?
Dude, it's late, isn't it?
Yeah.
In September, we're getting into Ashes.
That's when we'll get – 40 finals.
Yeah.
It's going to be on when we're
– How's that? Well, look, how tired are we going to be?
I know.
You know, Ashes cricket all night, then, you know, a couple of hours kip, then you know, off to the footy, into the sports bet box.
Yep.
You know, having a jar.
Yep.
Yeah, and back, it's not easy. Back that night, you know, the preview of the footy, of the cricket.
Yep.
Then, you know, the cricket starts again, same thing, you know, back to the sports bet box, which I assume will happen with podcast being as successful as
that. Might have to do a couple of episodes from the box.
Yeah.
Well, there's no time to come back here and do it.
You would think we'd be front and centre.
Yeah, big time. Yep.
You know, whether Dino and Merv qualify with the contributions
they've
made.
Not sure Merv's played enough games.
No,
it's like a player hasn't played enough games for finals.
Particularly when the top he could take us to was 30 in the podcast list. Like, seriously, that was embarrassing. But the Ashes, look, the big hope of the team is the way England went against the West Indies.
Yeah.
And I can't see that Kemar Roach has improved that much to be tearing sides apart. He's been bowling in the international cricket for a long time, Kemar. So, I think Australia again will be competitive. The Anderson factor is always my worry.
Yeah,
you know, and while he stays on his feet, and if he's fit, so they get him through the English summer and he's fit for that Ashes campaign, which he'll clamber over, he'll do the Nigel Smarts and clamber over hot rocks to make sure he's right.
Yeah.
Australia have that's their challenge, getting through those early overs, not to get into trouble.
Who, you know, I think we've gone over there a few times with just everyone's got to bowl 140, got to blow everyone out of the, you know, water. Hasn't worked as well for us. There's room for a couple of blokes around the Jimmy Anderson pace. Who is your bloke from Australian Shield cricket that you take in that role?
I really like Dan Worrell.
Yeah.
Really like him.
Yep.
And he consistently bowls, you know, good outies at good speed. But you know, I don't know if if selectors are keen to do it. You know, that's we haven't seen sort of that. We haven't seen that outsider without being a high profile, quick come into the side and been given a bit of longevity to settle in and have a, you know, have a dash at it.
Yeah,
we seem to bring them in and turn their career off as quick as we brought them in.
Yep.
You know, so I'd love a genuine, you know, a genuine swing bowler to go over there. But history says that, you know, the old tried and true line and length, and they'll rely heavily again on Mitchell Starc to be a person that can move the ball. Mm-hmm. I don't know who they will take. If they do want to take a swinger, I'll go with a Dan Worrell.
Yeah. Bit of charisma too, Worrell, I think, which is good.
He's got a bit about him.
If they would chuck him in a Linta energy ad or something, he'd give it a bit.
Yeah, he I would. He'd raise. He's a singer, isn't he? Doesn't he? Singer. He doesn't mind breaking into song every now and then.
Absolutely. Singer, very funny man too.
You need that on the bus when you're travelling around England. You know, you need someone that'll break into a little bit of song and dance and break the monotony.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall, a bit of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's the sort of stuff, yeah.
Smith and Warner. Slot straight back in. How are they going to go?
If Australia were doing any good, I don't think they would. With Australia doing as poorly as they have been, yes, they will. And that seems to be a fait accompli, that they're waiting for their bans to finish and back they come. Yep, fine. Look, Warner's the best opener in the country and Smith's the best number four. So I really have no problem with it. They've served their time for the crime they did. Let's move on and get on with it. It'd be, it's going to be a good batting lineup, a far better batting lineup when you see those two in the top order.
Absolutely. Your prediction, where will Australia finish? Can I get a number for them in the World Cup and then a score?
Between four and six.
Between four and six? Don't mind it. And in the Ashes series, predicted score line?
2-1.
Two?
England. Oh, that's terrible. That's un-Australian, isn't it?
It is un-Australian. But,
No, it's un-Australian. No, I can't go with it. 2-1 Australia.
2-1 Australia.
No, I can't because we won't. No. No, I can't. All right, I'm going for England.
Yep.
I'm not going for England. I'm going for Australia.
Yeah.
But I think England will win.
Okay. Hopefully they keep producing that West Indies form.
That's a terrible thing to say.
No, so I'm not going to begrudge you.
I don't know if I can live myself on that.
No. Please. We need you for the Simon O'Donnell medal. We don't want it to be a posthumous. I'll tell you what, that probably brings us to the end of this final episode for the summer.
Sad moment.
It is. I promised myself I wouldn't cry, but if I do, I'm actually not going to edit it out because I'm proud of what we've got going here over the summer. But look, I tell you what, there's a good chance we might reprise this come around World Cup time.
I'd be very surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah.
Really, particularly like I would think today's just with the two of us and the two golden voices of the Sportsbet podcast. Yeah. I'd be surprised we weren't there top three, in the podcast level.
Very kind of you to say that. So it has been a tremendous summer. I thank you for getting involved. And Dino as well, if you're listening out there, Merv, when you chopped in as well. It's been a lot of fun. We've padded up. We've done all sorts of stuff. We've cast an eye over a few things. We've awarded the most significant award in Australian cricket media as well, which is going to –
Well done to Mark Howard.
Well done, Howie. Thank you for listening as well. Gamble responsibly, and we'll talk to you soon.
Look forward to seeing you next year, as they say in the classics, because none of us know whether we're going to have a job or not. But I think we will, Emmy. I think we will.
I hope so. I need this.
Well done. Great year. Thanks to all our production staff. Ooh, massive amount of people behind the scenes.